Good evening, sir.
Okay, good evening. It's 6 p.m. Calling to order the November meeting from the Nashua Airport Authority Board of Directors. Roll call.
Chairman Woods.
Here.
Secretary Scheifel.
Here.
Director Heath.
Here.
Director Duquette.
Here.
Okay. And we're still one member short. Brian Law has not been sworn in yet, and unfortunately, I think the untimely passing of Brian McCarthy has thrown the alderman schedule off a little bit. So we expect Brian to be sworn in December. So anyway, next is public input. We do it quiet tonight. Okay. Minutes, approval of the NAA public minutes of October 17, 2018.
I move that motion to approve the public minutes of October 18, which have been on file and are on file in the office.
I'll second that. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Treasurer's report, approval of the October 2018 financial statements subject to audit.
Okay, so we'll just go through those real quick, right?
Sure.
So, pretty much not much to speak of again this month. Pretty much right on target for income for the year to date. A couple of one-off purchases this month on the expense category. We had to pay our $3,900 auditing. Is that the fee? Is that the annual fee for their services, for the auditing work? That was that decision, okay. And it looks like there was a computer purchase for the office, $1,500 computer purchase. Other than that, nothing really remarkable to speak of. So I put forward a motion to accept the October 2018 Treasurer's Report pending audit.
I'll second that. Okay, discussion. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any motion carries. Communications.
There are eight communications to the authority, all of which are available for inspection, all of which have been on file at the office. One is a letter from the FAA concerning leases. One is a recommendation to the authority on promotion of various activities at the airport. There's a very detailed letter from the manager back to New Hampshire DOT responding to their letter of September. There's a request from New Hampshire DOT for quarterly aircraft reporting. There is a request by Mr. Zale for 110 perimeter to assign a lease and also a request to extend the lease. There is a request for Mac Air to be aware of the fact that they have space available, and there are two communications involving New Hampshire DOT on the snow removal equipment, and one is a change order on the approval of the project. Again, all available for inspection.
Okay. Well, again, I would like to highlight the Mac Air letter, describing that they have hangar vacancies presently. So, we know that Mac Air has space available, and there's space available in Building 7 as well. This one is Tamposi. So, just wanted to note that for the record. So, reports. Tower report, please. Okay. So for the month of November. The 5,600, I'm sorry, that's, I'm sorry, 5,314. The variance, you know, for past, for last year is, we're off 310. Yeah, so that's a reduction in 6% year over year. So I'm not going to get into the numbers of turbine versus, you know, piston and all of that. It is on file if anyone would like to see it.
First thing in margins, there are the ones that were not turbine.
I'm sorry.
Do we have any idea how many CFR days there were in October?
Does the tower track that?
I mean, I did. I just, my perception is that it's a lousy month, like, otherwise.
It kind of has been. It's been very wet.
Monsoon.
It was the first negative month year over year. 310 operations down from last year.
Yeah, year over year, you know, we've had increases. So, you know, it's unusual to have a down month, at least for this year. Joey, do you have a question?
No, I was just mentioning the one negative month. The rest of the years, we've had double digit.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4 months out of the year, solid double digit, 30s and 20s increase year over year, but weird little dip in October.
Overall, 10.
Yeah, overall, we're up 10% for the year, 5,000 operations for the year.
Good thing. Let's see, airport manager.
Okay, please bear with me. I can barely speak. You're all lucky, I guess. Recent events, we've had none. Upcoming events, groove and seal project still postponed till the spring of 2019. Obviously, we get into weather where we couldn't put the second coat down. Turns out it's a good thing because we have some of the paint wearing off, and we went out and looked at that today. Nick and I did and took a lot of photos, and Nick has contacted the seal coat and paint manufacturers, and we'll be dealing with that. But once again, there'll be a second coat going on in the springtime. Other items of interest, October 22nd, hand-delivered the Nashua Airport Authority response to the DOT Bureau of Aeronautics Part 13 investigation. We have not received anything back from them yet, a response from them. On 11-6, at a meeting with Nashua Airport Authority, Terra Fugia, and Brian Bean, Midwest State Traffic Control Tower Chief, and we had a pretty in-depth discussion about Terra Fugia's testing procedures, and we addressed all the operational and safety concerns, because as you all know, they're going to be test driving that vehicle on the taxiways as well as the runway. Wes?
Do they have a flight test area now?
Yes, they do.
Is that available to the public?
I don't have that. I know Terra Fugia has it. He had it at the meeting.
So for experimental aircraft, typically the FAA designates a geographical area in which the flight test operations.
Ground operations?
No, air operations.
Okay. So basically like a practice area.
What I can tell you, Wes, is it encompasses a large area to the west of us that we're all used to seeing for everybody's flight training. It also tunnels in between the Class Bravo and the Class Charlie of Manchester and heads out on the other side of Manchester, and it's out in that area, out to the seacoast, out to Portsmouth. So.
I also gave them a heads-up where we like to go practice after.
Well, right. I'm wondering, I'm just, maybe I'll knock at the door and have a pleasant chat. I just want to avoid being on a vertical downline, seeing airplane or a turbine.
See a car.
Well, they discussed altitude heck. Farrell, do you remember the altitudes? They were discussing higher altitudes out there, though, if I recall.
Yeah, and well, it depends on how high. Because, you know, it's like when I go out there, I go up to like 5,500, 6,000 feet.
Yeah, but I thought they were talking like 10.
Yeah, if he's at 10, he's going to be pretty well above us.
But yeah, feel free, and the guy you want to speak with, his name's Phil Mateer.
Okay.
I think you may have met him in one of these meetings.
Want to be a good neighbor.
Yeah. So we addressed that on November 9th at a meeting with Matt Karen from Gale Associates, Farrell Woods as well, and we discussed the master plan. And nothing very eventful there. It's since been put up on the website by Susan for review. On 11/14, we had our annual snowplow operators meeting. We have the same staff we had last year. It's myself, Joe Callahan, Matt Farabee, and we have three part-time employees, Bob Donadeo, Bob DeMeo, and Ken Richards. Just in time, we've plowed twice now. So, 11/14, we had a meeting with SNHU, Nashua Airport Authority, Director Duquette, Director Heath, Brian Law, and myself, and the folks from SNHU. And it's continued 79 Perimeter Road lease negotiations. And we have another meeting scheduled for next Thursday. They made a proposal to us last time, and they're gonna adjust some numbers, and we'll talk about it again next week. The other thing is the SRE grader project was finally approved by Governor and Council. Nick will discuss this. The other thing was the pavement maintenance project change order was approved by New Hampshire DOT Bureau of Aeronautics. Nick will discuss that as well. And that has to do with the groove and seal. I'm sorry, not the groove and seal. With the pavement maintenance project from last year down the corporate end. And the change order specifically was in front of Hangar 9 where we had the sinkhole. So, anybody have any questions? Great. I'm all done talking.
Okay, thank you. Suffering from the same thing Chris is a little bit here. So Matt Karen with Gale Associates for the recording. With respect to the airport master plan, over the past month or so, we've been polishing that up and incorporating comments that we've received from several folks, and I appreciate everyone's input on that. Thank you for reading that. It is, as Chris mentioned, there's a draft final that is now up on Nashua's website, thanks to Susan. Thank you for that. And so at this point, everything is up. It's ready for anyone's review and comment. The airport layout plan, if you may recall, was approved back in September on the 17th by the FAA. So pending any major critical change or anything like that, I think we're probably in a position to start looking to close that project out, which I'm sure might make a lot of people happy at this point.
Especially you.
Especially. No, keep it open. So that's pretty much it. So, Chairman Woods, I don't know how you want to proceed at this point. It is up on the website. I don't know what you're thinking in terms of the time frame before we look to start closing this out or, you know, cut off comments.
Probably cut off comments at, say, like the end of the calendar year if people think that's reasonable. And, you know, then we can bring it before the board, say, if you were meeting.
Okay, sounds good.
People need something to do over the Christmas holiday anyway, right?
No, I'm good on the mess floor.
All right, I'll take over from here and make a video for the recording. As far as the project number two, the pavement reconstruction and maintenance on the corporate end, again, NHDOT has approved change order number two, which counts for the emergency drainage repairs performed by Continental Paving. With this approval in hand, final reimbursement and project closeout documentation can be prepared and submitted to the airport for signature and then forwarded along to DOT. As part of this closeout procedure, NHDOT has requested a grant amendment request that will be processed to cover the cost of the emergency drainage repairs. This amendment request will be included in the closeout packages sent up to when we send those out to the authority. Any questions regarding the pavement maintenance project? Okay. Project number three is the runway 1432 groove and seal. Again, as Chris mentioned, there have been some issues resulting from the margins interaction with the sealant. At least that's what I believe. We'll be working with the vendor and the contractor doing the work to figure out what happened and what a best solution is. But at this time, I believe it's to basically proceed as if you're going to continue to remove snow in the fashion you would and let it weather over the winter, and then we'll come back and hopefully by the spring, everything that's going to peel up from pavement has done that, and we can remind them. I'll let you guys know if there are any changes. Again, it's not on the agenda tonight because I learned about it today, so I apologize for that. But to round out project number three, NHDOT, we're still waiting on approval from change order number one. I did speak to NHDOT about it, and they had some questions regarding information we had supplied them. So I'm working to get that information over to them and answer their questions. Hopefully, it all results in group change order number one. Any questions regarding? Yes.
One question with respect to the peeling or whatever. What is the contractor's responsibility with respect to warranty, time frame, etc.?
The contractor has a one-year warranty on all the work that they perform, and that is from the time of substantial completion, which has not been reached yet because they still have to do one more coat of paving mark. So we'll go through the winter and the spring. Hopefully everything that's going to flake off has. We remark, we issue substantial completion, and then from that point for another year, so you'll get another winter. And if anything happens, they'll have to come back and repair it at their cost.
How much have we withheld? What was the total contract versus how much did we get paid?
That is a good question, and I apologize. I don't have those numbers off the top of my head. There were some underruns because we believed that change order number one with the additional signs would have been included in the original contract price with the contractor without any need for a change order, or there would be a change order, but it wouldn't increase the contract amount by any. I can get you that information.
Well, I just want to make sure that there's enough money that they haven't gotten yet to get their attention.
We've only paid them for half of the pavement markings because they have to come back and do a second coat. And we do still have, I believe, 10% retainage that we can.
So they've got motivation for coming back.
They do, yes.
Is this a problem? Is this a common problem? Does it happen in another airport?
I called the vendor. He said that, and I didn't really explain the markings. What I told him about was the Black Beauty or the friction agent coming up. And both the vendor and the contractor said that that shouldn't be an issue. There's a period of time, it's about 14 days after the application of the sealant where the friction on the asphalt surface sort of drops, and then as it cures, it comes back up. So for that 14-day period, the Black Beauty was applied to provide the friction for safe aircraft operations on the runway. Beyond 14 days, when the friction values return to what they were pre-sealant, the Black Beauty's there ornamentally only. So the fact that it's peeling up doesn't pose a substantial problem for me. However, it does sort of make a mess.
Is there a danger to aircraft?
Any ingestion maybe, or any fog?
It's basically sand.
Yeah. It's not like big chunks of.
No, and that's what I was worried about. If the sealant were flaking off the way that I had originally thought, then that would be a big problem. That would mean that there was a contaminated surface, there was dust or something keeping it from curing. But it seems like it's still there. The only marks or gouges in the pavement are from the plows that would happen on untreated surfaces as well.
Let me just add something there.
Yeah.
There is no Black Beauty standing on the runway. There's no loose material on the runway at all. It was all blown off to the side by the broom, or it's all over the broom. That's how we noticed it, because it's about a half inch thick all over the broom.
Well, it's good that this stuff is off the runway.
Yeah.
Because Black Beauty and any of our engines are not going to get a lot.
Does not work well.
Yeah.
Especially
if we had not caught snow, it would be still out there. It would have been.
Well, it wouldn't be loose because it's loosened up with the broom and the grader. So if there's nothing out there, Nick and I were out there this afternoon. We actually got out of the vehicle, as Steve knows, because he was doing S-turns for us. Thank you. We were running our hands on the pavement, and it's perfectly smooth. There's no grit or anything on it.
Wes, do you still have a question?
No, I think that answers all.
Okay. Any other questions on the roof?
Let's see, with respect to the warranty, is materials and labor?
It's the finished product itself is warranted. So yeah, they would have to come back and repair it to the contract specification if anything is found to be failing.
Okay, thank you.
We're essentially not even into warranty, so we're like in process work. This is
right.
This is if they were building a wall right now and the wall fell over.
Right.
They just have to go back and fix it. We just happen to have this huge gap in time for the job.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Okay.
I like that example.
Or if they build the wall, it's not all the way to the ceiling.
Right. And go, we're done. They're not.
Well, the clock hasn't started to run yet.
Right.
Steve?
Yeah, I have a difficult time sometimes hearing out there, so I just wanted to make sure. You might have already said it, might not have heard. Any further information as far as the New Hampshire DOT and the shortening of that entry into the airport from Alpha and the 500 footer?
Yeah, we're still working with DOT to get that change order approved.
So they've had it in front of them since?
They have. When I spoke to Carol last, she said that there were still some outstanding questions that she needed answered in order to be approved. So I'm working with her behind me to try to get those questions answered and get that change order approved. Either way, at this point, it's too late in the season to actually do work this year, so we're looking at spring startup. Any other questions?
Which coincides, Steve, with the remarking of the inside the second coat on the whole runway?
Maybe April.
It's going to be warm enough. All right. Project number four is the purchase of the snow removal equipment. Funding for the project has been approved. Upon notification, the grant was approved by Governor and Council. Gail notified Milton Katz of the approval and prepared the purchase order for the equipment. There was a slight hiccup when Milton Katz reported that they may not be able to honor the original bid price because of the increasing cost of steel over the past 8 months. However, they did get back to us and say that they'll honor their price. They have not reported back on whether or not the attachments price will go up, but in my mind, no news is good news on that regard. He would have called if there were an issue. The fact that there's no issue, we communicated several times since we had that discussion, to me indicates that there's no problem, but I'll confirm that and get back to you guys. We have signed purchase orders from Milton Katz that have been returned, and those have been distributed, so the recommended actions of the authority this month are already taken care of. Any questions regarding the snow removal equipment? I should add, the contract, I believe, is for 180 days, beginning at the time the purchase order is signed by the vendor. So we are already into the contract time. Hopefully, we can turn it around pretty quick. And then project number five is the phase two of the pavement reconstruction and maintenance, which would be on the 1-4 end. Gail's prepared a written scope of work for the project. And have I submitted to you a written scope of work yet?
No.
Okay. I have the written scope with me. I'd like to give it one final read. I apologize. I thought I would get it to you.
So Merrill's all done with their surveying? And
Merrill's survey is complete. We should have base filed back. They told us within the next week or two, and then we can go to preliminary design, geotechnical exploration. The subconsultant is preparing a geotech report that summarizes the results, and that will tell us what we need to do to bring the pavement and the base materials up to par with FAA standards. We have coordinated with NHDES to confirm that permitting through the alteration of terrain program is not required, and that was confirmed by NHDES last week. We've also performed Section 106 coordination with FAA on the project, and it has been reported by FAA that there is no further coordination needed. If you don't know, Section 106 coordination is your state historic preservation office, tribal historic preservation office, any type of sensitive resource areas, things like that. And everything came back clear, so we were good to go. upon receipt of the written scope of work, if you guys find that acceptable, we're looking at a fee of over $100,000 between design and construction phase services, which will require an independent fee estimate or an IFE. There have been some recent changes with the legislation for independent fee estimates. In the past, we've given you our fee proposal, and then along with redacted contracts and fee spreadsheets that you can send to the IFE provider. The new legislation states that the airport should not see the consultant's fee prior to obtaining an independent fee estimate. Something about maintaining the integrity of the process. So what I'll do is, if you guys approve of the scope of work, I'll send out the pro forma for the independent fee estimate, and when that comes back in, we'll compare it to Gail's fee proposal and see where we come in. So I will do my best to get that to you before the end of the week, so you guys can review it and see if you have any questions, or if it's approved, we can move forward with the independent fee estimate. Okay, hand up, Wes.
I'm just curious as to the time frame for that tower.
I think we could actually go to construction earlier than that with the FAA reauthorization through Congress this past year. We should be able to get grants much sooner in the year because the funds are guaranteed to be there. So if we apply for a grant through NHDOT by April 1st, NHDOT applies for the federal grant by May 1st, we could see it as early as July, in which case we could start immediately.
And just so everybody knows, this, excuse me, I haven't read your scope, obviously, but we discussed this. This isn't going to be an overlay job like we had on the other end of the field, because that didn't work so well. It's going to be a reclaim job, and so the overall product will be better than what's on the other end of the field.
Does the DOT, do they have anything that they need to sign off on right now that...
DOT will receive a copy of the draft scope as well.
Okay.
And they can provide
comments. Right now, there's nothing up there regarding this project.
Not regarding this project.
This is the phase two stuff. Okay. And at one point, we were talking about doing a second bite of the apple of combining this with the taxiway relocation. Is that still?
Supplemental appropriations program. We've applied on behalf of the airport for both the taxiway relocation and the taxiway reconstruction and paving maintenance here. I believe, did Carol ask for any cost breakdown for
that? I'm not sure.
In non-block grant states, we've been contacted by FAA for several airports asking to provide some additional information. Which indicates that they're reviewing the requests right now, and hopefully by end of December we have a determination on whether or not it's going to be funded through that program.
So those two are kind of parallel tracks right now?
Yes. It's either going through traditional airport improvement program or this program, not both. And we can't co-mingle those funds. So
if you get the supplemental appropriations funding, there will be no local share. It's 100%
right.
Cost for the
program. That would only be
more to do
it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Those reporting questions. Bring me up to speed on the tax relocation. Which one?
Hey.
That's right.
The idea is it's kind of like the second part of the extended runway, where the taxiway is then moved closer toward to the runway. And a lot of the site work, a lot of the setup for all that stuff was done back when the runway was.
Nick was the site engineer, so he could probably...
Yeah.
As part of the permitting for the runway, we designed and ultimately constructed the final drainage system. We've rough graded in the parallel taxiway. With the move 300 feet to the north of runway 1432, that opens up real estate. Once we relocate the taxiway, we'll expand open space to build new hangars, things like that. So it's something that's on the airport's wish list and their master plan. So moving forward with the taxiway relocation is the next step in that process. So shouldn't be too complicated a project. It's basically earthwork and pavement. So
if you don't need supplemental funding, then
We don't do the taxi relocation, correct?
Correct. Then it would fall back to wherever it lies on your CIP for fiscal year 2020.
Is that kind of rolling the rim stuff that needs to be potentially done too?
Yeah, there is one taxiway, I think Delta, that leads straight from parking to the runway as part of it.
Charlie does it.
Charlie and Delta.
Charlie and, okay.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
there's Chris's alternatives.
Yeah, and Matt, you may be able to speak. But,
yeah, if and when, well, let me back up.
If you so touch that, we got to do that.
If
right?
you touch that, yeah. If you recall from the master plan, I know it's. From the master plan committee and their recommendation to this board was to, if possible, leave Charlie and Delta as they exist today, correct me if I'm wrong, as they exist today, which would require seeking a modification to standard from the FAA. But the second you touch Alpha, yeah, you have to start correcting any sort of deficiencies or geometric deficiencies as they may be by moving that.
Does everybody know what the RIM, the RIM runway incursion mitigation stuff is that we're talking about?
You basically just can't have a straight line.
They don't want you just shooting off of a off an apron through a taxiway and onto the runway. Right. That's essentially it.
And equally for ground vehicles and aircraft.
So instead of this, it does this.
Right.
They want to turn motion.
So you can get all straight to do this.
How about some high-speed taxiways?
So taxiways like Charlie and Delta, where you can go straight from parking to the runway or trying to be
I'm just, I mean, the way I teach my guys, rest time, don't even think about going past it, because that's where the whole shoreline, which you ain't going to see until you get close enough to it. So why do we need an additional
FAA
to that?
Just
I mean, that rest
like
time, you're
that.
Not even climb up to see it.
Yeah, somebody said you have to.
One of the things that is a blanket legislation that is intended for large hub airports that you then have to apply at smaller GAs as well. It's the same way with the design
so whatever,
and things like that. So
whatever happens at Midway has to happen here.
You got it.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. We had to, you know, we hashed that out in the one of the master plan committee meetings and you know, so. You know, I didn't like the idea either. It's, you know, it's like we're not like, you know, Nashua International Airport, you know, serving, you know, seven boards and things like that.
If you go up against the grain, it's just pissing away money. Whether it's ours or not, it is ours.
The other thing, like quoting Brian Bean, is we've never had an issue with it, ever.
Yeah, as far as money incurred?
Yep.
Yeah.
It took one somewhere one time, and that was it.
And they have them at the large airports, but we just don't have that issue at Nashua.
You guys have a very simple layout. If you go into a place like Ithaca, you have three or four taxiways converging in one place. Or Westfield, where again, they have a couple taxiways and then across another. You can get confused.
Our airport's basically a big rectangle, so it's pretty simple.
Fly off the wide one, drive on the skinny one.
Is there any on the general item?
Nope.
Okay. So that's the end of the engineering report, unless there are any more questions.
Okay, so moving on, master plan committee, I think we already had this discussion. Master plan is up on the website. It's exciting reading for your Christmas holiday. seriously, if you're on the master plan committee or you're listening to this recording or reading the minutes and you're on the master plan committee, please take a look see and send any feedback that you have for myself and Matt. And you know, thanks in advance for your time.
I'll print out copies for stocking stuffers if anyone's interested.
Excellent.
Tie it up with candy cane.
So with that, old business. Land lease addendum and extension for 110 Perimeter Road.
Greetings. I'm Jeff Saul, an attorney here in Nashua. I represent the owner of Westy of 110 Perimeter Road, and they're in the process of selling the building and signing the lease. Last month I was here for an amendment of the master lease to take care of a financing issue. Now that they've gone through the due diligence period, they're ready to move forward on a sale. December in that area. So the next step in the process expired, and an extension of the lease to the remaining 42 years on the lease. And I presented both documents with my request, and I asked that the chairman sign both documents and proceed with the closing.
Okay. Let's see, this. Do we have to take a vote on anything with respect to this? I think we discussed this already, right?
Excuse me, but didn't we do this last month and then you withdrew it?
No. Well, yeah, well, last month, one of the due diligence issues that came up was that the lease did not allow a mortgage to extend beyond the initial term.
Yes.
And the initial term was up in like 6 years.
Right.
So they couldn't finance the acquisition. So the bank, where they gave their financing approval, required that we amend the lease to extend it. We also brought forward the extension of the lease, but at the last moment they said, well, wait a minute, we don't want to extend it yet because the due diligence period wasn't over yet. So once the buyer went by the due diligence period and we know we have a closing coming up, we're taking care of that at the same time.
Okay, so what we were going to do last month, we're going to do this month instead.
Well, you did one thing last month.
Right, but now it's
the other thing.
We almost did last month.
And you're also hopefully going to approve the assignment of the lease because it requires the consent of the authority. The same tenant is there. There's no change in the use of the building. That's just the format.
So we don't need, I don't think, this is just a normal course of business.
It's an administrative function.
We are going 28 years on it.
That's per the terms of the originally written lease.
All right, there was a 42-year extension written into it.
Yeah, right. So they did that. That's what you're exercising.
Correct.
Yes. That and the assignment.
You can sign that.
Yes,
I can
sign
that. I don't have it with me now.
I can notarize it.
Can you? I don't actually have it with me.
I can notarize it. I think it was also discovered that the master lease between the city and the airport authority was never recorded.
I spoke to Steve Bolton a week or so ago. He said, "Oh yeah, that's been sitting on the mayor's desk for a while. Let's track it down." So that's in the process, and that's critical for our closing.
And we signed that off.
Yeah, I signed that off this week. So.
Oh, good.
Darn, it's not a progress.
So
that's
recorded the original deed prior to our closing.
Yeah, that's important.
Still waiting for the mayor.
West, please.
Just speaking of another lease holder, there's no change in terms of the renewal of the lease department, correct?
No.
Okay.
They're exercising a provision that's in their current lease.
That's right.
Which does not necessarily need the approval of FAA because of the when, but per legal counsel, the terms of the lease apply and are.
That's right. My understanding was they were grandfathered.
Correct. Also, 110 is in Airside. So. Right. Anyway, so the other item under old business, automotive fuel storage for Terra Foodia, 101 Perimeter Road.
I could speak to that a little bit.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Chris.
If you can still speak.
Yeah. I. As I said in the last meeting, I contacted the fire chief. Excuse me. And our discussion was he needed to know exactly what fuel bowser they intended to purchase, and they didn't know that at Terra Fugia. So I relayed that information back to Terra Fugia and waiting for their response to so I can bring that to the fire chief. What the fire chief did say is that generally these people that make the fuel bowsers, they exceed any regulations that the fire code has, fire department has for code requirements.
Okay.
So we're just waiting to hear back from Terra Fugia on that. And it will be a trailerable fuel bowser.
So there's nothing to be, nothing for us to move on this evening on that issue.
Okay, that brings us to new business. I don't see any items on the agenda for new business. Upcoming events, I think we went over that in the manager's
report. Can I speak about one other thing?
Yes, please.
Before I really can't speak. just so everybody knows, we're all familiar with House Bill 124 and Senate Bill 565 that was signed into law this past year. And we had hoped to see, you know, new aircraft coming to the field, you know, maybe in 5 years from now. And just so everybody knows, we have a Hawker 4000 that we've inked the deal. It's coming here next month. So our first new aircraft to the airfield will be here sometime in January, actually. And there's, I'm sorry, Infinity will be hangaring that. And there's rumor that there's another tenant on the field that just purchased a brand new Citation Longitude, and that will be coming here within approximately 3 months. There is also East Point just bought a brand new Falcon jet. They're replacing their 3-year-old 500-hour Falcon, the brand new one. And I can tell you that they would not have done this had the House and Senate bills not been signed into law. So it's already working for the state of New Hampshire. Wes?
To add some color to that, I believe I recall Greg Liston saying that if we got one new jet, then that would be good. If we got two new jets in, then it would be a really big win. And if we got three, it would be a home run.
Well, two of these are replacing current jets, but they will be sipping a little more fuel, too. They're much larger jets than what they're replacing. They were purchased for long-range capabilities, these two other jets, for trips to Europe, which they would be, you know.
Now they're buying fuel by the tanker.
Yep, tanking up.
Should we not ensure that the mayor and the governor know this?
I've had a meeting with Greg Leeson, and actually we talked about it yesterday again. We're going to try to get actually a press release together and, you know, make this public knowledge that, you know, this Senate bill, House bill has worked, and here's the proof.
And the question might be asked, is it what's happening at other airports? Is it conceivable that it might be helping them too?
But it will eventually. I don't know if anybody else has any action yet, but... this is good news because, like I said, we're not even 6 months into it, and we have three brand new jets, well, two brand new and one that's less than 10 years old. The Hawker's less than 10 years old, coming to Nashua.
I think the spreadsheet said each jet, like $5,000 in fuel revenues per year.
Yep.
Definitely good news.
Yep.
Thank you. So let's see, that brings us to public input as we wind down the meeting.
Just a quick question here. Have we given any further consideration in approaching SMU and working something out with them whereby we could go from this venue to our own airport? Do you have a lot more people participating if we have that?
Are you talking about this meeting?
Yes.
Yeah, that's all part of some of the discussion that's going on with the lease. There's been, you know, thoughts of sharing some space and whatnot, so whether it's going to happen, you know, we don't know. We're still...
Is that handicap accessible?
Yes.
Is that going to be?
Okay. Yes.
That's the reason why we've moved out.
Right. So obviously, if there is a place that comes available that is handicap accessible, it is on the airport, we will prefer that over here. Not that this is a nice place, but...
Well, this works well.
It does.
And this is handicap accessible.
Right.
I just want more participation.
Okay. Any more public input? Any director comments? So I'll start with Bob. Yeah,
December meeting. Are we doing a December meeting?
Traditionally, I think we've taken December off. Can you think of any pressing business?
No. Part of the reason we held this meeting on this date late in the month was because we weren't going to have a December meeting. So our next meeting will be in January.
Other than that, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Festivus, whatever works for you.
David? I just wanted to take a minute and just reflect a little bit on Dwayne McCarthy and the impact that he's had this city, and also to, his love of the airport. You know, he wasn't flying on an airplane, but he really liked it there. It was a sad day for the city when Brian passed away, so I just wanted to recognize him and all of his work that he's done, both on behalf of the airport, which he has, and also for the city itself.
Yes, please. Does anything happen with Sharon Avenue? Has it been widened?
Yeah, it's done.
Would he have been out of state or something?
Actually, that does remind me of something. I drove up Sharon Ave today, and I still see it, piles of debris, just outside of our fence.
Right. Can I speak about this one more time?
Yes.
The piles of debris, they've been addressed with Newport Construction through the city. They got caught off guard by the snowstorm again, and we plowed that parking lot, and stuff's in the way, so we're staying on them to finish cleaning up that mess, because there's a lot of trash accumulating out there, too. One other thing that I forgot to talk about on the Sharon Ave project is, if you recall, there was a subdivision that went across the street, and they had asked us if we wanted to purchase the lot that they were subdividing, and they gave us a request for how much they wanted to get for it, and it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $175,000, to which I said no. There isn't a lot in the city that's that size that's worth more than $100,000. And then I found out that the lot is laden with asbestos, and he came back to me the other day, and he said, he started negotiating again. He was around the 70 mark. I'm like, no. And he said, how about 50? And I said, no, we don't want anything to do with the property because of the asbestos problem. Not to mention, as we discussed on the board previously, it doesn't really buy us anything acquiring this single piece of property across the street, even though it's in the RPZ, because there's no way we're ever going to acquire all of Bud Way and all those commercial properties over there, so it would be a foolish purchase, which is what my opinion is, but I figured I'd let you know the latest offer was 50. And I also...
You will pay us 50?
I was going to say, when he comes with a checkbook for you...
I also talked to a developer. I spoke with a developer, and when I told him about the asbestos, he said, not even if they paid you 50.
Right.
So, that's what's going on with that.
Okay. Well, appreciate that update.
Okay.
And so, let's see. I think I have money to add to the other director's comments.
Oh, Chris, I'm sorry, I have a quick question. It looks like there's deja vu, the duck pond there at Perimeter Road.
Okay. The other day, he's talking about where the pond goes under Perimeter Road, Pine Hill Road.
Right.
Excuse me. And it's flooding over again because it was all blocked up from beaver dams again.
Oh, okay.
They came in 2 days ago. Was it yesterday, Susan, or two days ago?
They've been there for a couple of days.
All right. They came in and they brought the Vactor in and they blew out the drain under the street. I inspected it this morning. It's flowing like a river.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we're backed up into the airfield with water because of this.
Yep.
And it'll probably take about 4 weeks if we don't have any more snow and it doesn't freeze over to drain out of there.
I got to tell you, I was taking a walk on the river today downtown. That's a lot of water.
Nashua River is really high.
Really
right
high.
Now.
And it's not moving. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing we have are the potholes that has been addressed. I called Mike Harris at the city, and he said they will repair the potholes.
Can I try and get
that? Sure. At this point, I don't have much more to add. I just want to wish everybody happy holidays. Thank you for coming to our meetings, spending a bit of your evening with us. And we'll see folks again in January.
Yes, happy New Year. So with that, we'll be moving to adjourn.
I'll second.
Okay, discussion? Okay, we are adjourned. Thank you.
I'll be 52 next time we meet them.
Today, yes. Hey, under an hour.